Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
On your lunch hour, it's all hockey right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. I'm Kelly Kirsch. He's Logan Gordon. Here we go, 60 minutes on ice. Eric Dehatchuk, one of our NHL insiders, coming up at about 12:30, the news of the day. Lots to talk about when it comes to the NHL and also a coaching hire. We'll get to Eric coming up in a little bit. But first, as we do all the time at this time, let's talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Peter, I told you we'd get little bits of information on a need-to-know basis, and it's just going to be perfect for this segment. We're just going to stretch things out. Don't know what we're going to get tomorrow, but, well, we got some good stuff yesterday, and we found out that, well, the season, the playoffs might start a little bit earlier than we anticipated. We kind of have a date for the draft. I mean, there's some interesting things to dig in and unpack.
Well, we most certainly do. So let's start with, you know, the early stuff. We've talked a lot this week about August the 1st. Now we could end up seeing games in this 24-team event as early as the 30th. Training camps still slated to begin as of Monday. Exhibition games, probably just one, 25th or 26th. For each of the teams, with now their ability to go into the hub cities, looks like it's on the 24th. The Stanley Cup final will start on my birthday, apparently, September the 20th, and go as long as October the 2nd, a draft on October the 6th. And then ultimately, which I also find very interesting, Jets, is a new training camp starting about 5 weeks after, in the middle of November, with December 1st, not January the 1st, as the potential start for the next season. So that's a lot to unpack, a lot of tentative dates in a situation, as the boss just talked about. It moves every hour. So
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be setting my holidays up for this. And saying this is when it's going to happen because, I mean, nobody really, really knows. Let's just go one at a time here. When you look at the exhibition game preseason game or tune-up game or whatever.
I like tune-up game, actually.
Sure, yeah. I wonder what that's going to look like and what time that's going to be at and who you play in that situation. There's one we've never had before, a preseason game before the playoffs start.
They're true. We've never had that. Never.
I don't know what philosophy you have as a coach going into that. Obviously, you need a tune-up, but you don't want to tune up too much, and you certainly don't want anyone to get hurt.
No, you don't. And here's the other thing you're not likely to do. You're not likely to play the Edmonton Oilers if you're the Calgary Flames. I don't think there's one hope in you-know-where that's going to happen. And then let's take another team off the table. You're not playing the Winnipeg Jets in that game. So now you're down to, you know, the rest, and there's a lot to pick from. But you're right. I mean, who even thinks necessarily about that game in terms of getting you ready? Now, no one is completely signed off outside of my understanding is that there will be one game. I don't think there's going to be any more unless you've heard differently, Kelly, that there will be more than one.
The one bit of info that I did get on my conference call that I was telling you about was we kind of thought, okay, well, the Flames will always play at 8 o'clock. That does not, from what I understand, is not going to happen. So they will move teams around a little bit.
Move around.
And just because you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, don't expect to always get the prime time kind of deal. So there's a few masters at this, and that's what I understand. Now, does it change before they release the schedule on the weekend or Monday or whatever? Maybe. But that's what I'm hearing right now. So don't expect, you know, the Flames to avoid the noon starts just because they are a Western Canadian team.
No, and what we talked about yesterday, if you missed it, is depending on and we're talking strictly about the four play-in series, understanding that their plan with the round robin games is in both hubs to use the 4 o'clock time slot. What we, you know, kicked around yesterday, if you will you be married to a time slot? And I thought maybe you would be, but on the other hand, I also know what moves the needle. And that is network's ability to show people where they want to get the most, i.e. bang for your buck. And even in the East, you know, depending on, and the way these things, Kelly, you tell me any different, you know, everybody needs to get a win. So in the East, NBC is going to want the New York Rangers in prime time at some point. They're not going to be okay with it being, you know, just Toronto or just Montreal in terms of those back-to-back seeing. My guess is that Sportsnet's going to want, you know, potentially Edmonton and Calgary on different nights. They're probably, especially in the East, they're going to want Toronto and Montreal on different nights. But the Rangers series for NBC, and as we talked about, you know, we think Chicago probably would be NBC's big baby in the West, and they're playing the Oilers. It all factors in. But I'm glad you shared that, because I wasn't sure if they would, you know, be married to a time slot or if it would move around, and that's what's going to happen. You can almost be assured of it, that in order to accommodate those teams, they're going to give their schedule an opportunity. You know, even let's look at it this way. Let's come closer to home. So let's suggest that the Flames and Oilers don't play on the same nights, which they still could. But my guess is maybe then you marry up potentially Minnesota, Vancouver, and Calgary and Winnipeg. And probably in one case, Vancouver gets the 8 o'clock start and vice versa. They might swing back and forth.
Yeah.
If that's the marriage they come up with.
Yeah. And they have it's a 15 hour, like that you can't play within 15 hours of your last time you're on the ice, something like
right.
that. So
right.
I would, I'd give a couple bucks to kind of, I've been on a lot of Zoom calls, Lou. I'd like to kind of eavesdrop on that one and just kind of mute my mic and listen to the back and forth. Because, I mean, you know, there's big money involved in that. And yeah, some strong personalities. That would be kind of fun.
I want to be in the middle of it.
Yeah,
That's one that I would love to help plan.
Yeah.
That fascinates
me. Yeah. Get me my whiteboard. Get out of Lou's way. He's got his whiteboard going, right?
Yeah. Here's this group and this group, and here's why this makes sense. And, you know, and in closing about it, because we don't need to spend any more time, really, you know where you are in the round robin. You know, so those teams, at least, they know where they're going.
Yeah.
They just don't know exactly what days. And it's funny because from – you know, TV, and forget about TV. I mean, I'm going to ask you, I mean, would you rather a Flames 4 o'clock start? I'm going to guess.
Yes.
As opposed to noon. Of course you would.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 o'clock would be an ideal time for us. So noon would be pretty good too.
It sure would.
It'd be good. But maybe they phoned while I was on the air, but they haven't asked me what I think yet.
No.
So maybe that's, what about October 6th as the draft? That is, that's got some interesting stuff to
man.
It. I think that's kind of cool actually.
Well, I do, and I see it from a bunch of different places. I think it's great in the sense that it should come after the completion of this season. If you picked up the phone, though, and asked Jeff Chenault, the GM of the Calgary Hitmen, what he necessarily, or other junior operators, what they think, depending on, you know, those circumstances and when they're going to, you know, because right now, take the Western League, for example, Kelly, they have a tentative date to start like in early October. And the draft is going to play a real role in those players will end up being drafted and then go off to camps in the middle of November. But, you know, I mean, from the NHL standpoint, for sure, I think it makes complete and perfect sense that you do not have the draft until after your season is completed, because, you know, and I don't want to get into this because my head doesn't compute quite to this extent, but now when you start talking about what the league is going to have to do with conditional picks and this situation and that situation, by moving the draft to after the season, don't you think that just gives you a way better opportunity to make better decisions? I know I do.
Yeah. And then a few days later, we get into the old free agent frenzy like we do on July 1st.
Correct. So it's, you know, it's crazy. We've gone 4 months with no sports and next to nothing. But if indeed health and a little luck from wherever you take luck from, and we get through all this, well, all of a sudden, guess what? It's going to move really fast, Kelly, really fast, without any breaks. Because when I saw those tentative dates come out, I'm like, wow, I wonder how the teams that play for the Stanley Cup to as far as October the 2nd are going to feel about, well, we're right back at business in about 5 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, you're right back into, you know, an 82-game season. So, boy, oh, boy.
Here we go.
Here we go, yes.
Peter Labarde is on Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Kelly Kirsch. He is Logan Gordon.
Well, I just wanted to ask you one more about that timing there, Peter, about that week. I mean, you could go from handing out a Stanley Cup to a draft 3 days later, 3 or 4 days later, to 3 or 4 days after that, free agency. That kind of week for general managers and teams, and I mean, like a week to sign your free agents after winning a Stanley Cup is unprecedented. We could see some absolutely crazy movement in that time.
What's the word that you just used as part of your question? Unprecedented. Mm-hmm. This is all unprecedented. And it's going to continue to be unprecedented because that's what the times call for. And you're right, Logan, that's just the situation that you're in. And, you know, when we were getting ready and I sent you guys some notes about things that interest me, you're right. You know, for teams that end up being out in the process, and let's face it, all this buildup, all this work, you could be out in three games.
Yep.
Done. You know, by the 5th of August, now for those teams, you're going to have all kinds of time to think about October 6th and free agency and the next season. You know, now you've come off a boatload of time to plan and get everything ready. And, you know, then you just have a big difference in your calendar. But, you know, you're right. For the teams that stay in it right till the end or conference finals, there is no turnaround time, none. So, again, you know, these teams are so incredibly smart, and these times for every business, for everybody, just in all sincerity, you've had a lot of time, but all those whiteboards and five-year plans and everything that GMs do, you know, you've had some time to think about those things. And of course, you know, they have thought about it. So for us, it doesn't seem quite that way, but for them, you know, listen, remember, you know, a couple of months ago, the Flames were ready to have a draft. They were ready. The teams were ready in early June to have it. They were ready. So they did the work. And, you know, now some of that's, you know, even changing because I'm looking on Twitter right before you guys, you know, called me. And now I'm seeing, well, the under 20 Czech team is going to play Slovakia in a three-game series at the end of the month. Well, you know what that does? That gives you more games to scout with people who are going to be drafted. So it's, you know, this time frame is fascinating. But at least if you're a team, now you know.
Yeah, you finally got some.
Well,
some
I was wondering
dates.
That what we don't know about the other side of that. Did they say when the regular season would end?
No.
When the next regular season would end.
That's what I mean.
No.
Yeah, like
no.
like when would that, if you're starting December 1st, you normally start, you know, early part of October.
Correct.
So what what does that mean? You play till end of April, or what's the story? And more to that point, is this going to be something permanent? I know a lot of American teams would love to start the regular season in December and avoid college football and all those things in the World Series and baseball and that kind of stuff.
Well, my guess would be this, and it's a discussion I wanted us to have today because I think it's quite interesting, and maybe all three of us have a different opinion. There was no doubt in my mind that when the pandemic hit and we understood that it was really going to set things back, you know, I thought to myself, how long will we be in terms of, does the hockey calendar, when does it get back to October till the middle of June, which is what we've become accustomed to? Well, as Kelly just pointed out, that's not going to happen next season unless this one at some point doesn't work and it gets wiped out. And then we're going to be having another discussion about when, you know, the next season might potentially start. But based on what we know, you're probably going December to end of August now for the next season. And you're right. I think in our country, at least for me personally, I think I would personally favor, by and large, the way that we've done business for a long time. But my guess is that may not be a popular sentiment about NHL, like from NHL owners dealing, you know, in the United States with college football and the NFL. And, you know, because there is a window of opportunity when it's baseball, you know, for a while against everything else. So now American franchises in particular, especially with the regular season, would be playing well into areas that they haven't been before, right? And that might be to them an advantage. It might be an advantage.
Well, it's an interesting time for them to look at it because, I mean, you won't have an opportunity quite like this to, you know, try something different with your schedule. And, I mean, all of this is tentative, and, of course, health and safety comes first. But if you were going to do something and you wanted to make a change, now would be the absolute best time to you. You're in times where things don't, you know, really make sense or line up regularly. So if you have an idea, why not try it? For me, the hockey season extends a little bit too long when we're going into June and late summer like that. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to talk about because we're talking about, you know, in a few years bringing back the Olympics and, you know, how the NHL wants to get in a CBA break and all that. So I think it's a good time to try something different.
Well, the bottom line is, Logan, you're going to have no choice. What I think is fascinating will be, because it's going to be different, you are going to have an opportunity to assess something. You know that old saying about, you know, something different on the surface doesn't look very good, but it also doesn't it potentially open a different door of opportunity? And in its own way, the NHL is going to get a different look based on if indeed the next season starts December, early December, and goes till the end of August. We just don't know that that might not, for all what's about to be 32 teams, doesn't end up being more favorable. Now, for me personally, Logan, I kind of share the same sentiments as you in, you know, where we live and in the part of the world that we live. I think, you know, in the prairies and basically in our country, we value the summertime because in a lot of areas, you don't get a lot of it. So, you know, do you want to be inside watching a lot of sports? But, you know, it's why I wanted to talk about it today, because what about you, Kelly? What's your thought about if hockey turned into a December to end of August as opposed to
I think the NHL is buying some time and just understanding that maybe if they have to have a shortened season like they've done with a few lockouts ago where they shortened up the season, you just played the West, because I think it's pretty gutsy to think that you're going to have people jumping back into different arenas December 1st. That's, you know, if you look at the picture,
I agree.
If you look at the picture down in the States, man, that's a tough one to squint and look like it's going to work. I think that's what this is, Peter. I think they think that all right, you know, if we have to, we can shorten our season up, and maybe, you know, maybe we start January 1, and then, right. you know, we...
Everything I've seen, though, Kelly, talks about them still playing an 82-game season again.
Yeah. I believe that when I see it, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, what I wanted to kind of talk about is how would we feel if the calendar changed?
I don't think that would be... I think it'd be tough in Canada, your home base, and where people are crazy for it. It'd be tough slugging in the States to get people into arenas in August and July. I don't know. I don't know if that would work. That's kind of baseball season and family vacation time. And I think that'd be a tough sell.
Yeah, isn't it going to be interesting to just see how it all goes?
Well, let's switch gears with you for a second here, Peter, and we got some NHL news outside of scheduling and some actual team news today, and I wanted to get to it before we jumped into some Flames talk with you. Lindy Ruff finds himself as the next head coach of the New Jersey Devils, a long-tenured coach in the NHL. He spent time with Buffalo and Dallas as the head coach and has even been working with the New York Rangers as an assistant the last few years. Thoughts on the hiring in New Jersey with Lindy Ruff?
Well, I've been a Lindy Ruff fan for a long, long time. Quality person, you know, his resume speaks for itself. Did a lot of great work and has done excellent work no matter the role or his long tenure, especially with the Buffalo Sabres. Quality hockey man, a lifer as far as a hockey man is concerned. You know, the only thing that I find interesting is in the year 2020, you know, it has seemed on a number of different fronts that teams sometimes are getting more towards, if you will, you know, younger coaches and younger coaches that, you know, could be seen as maybe being more aligned with the modern day NHL player. But in this case, you know, New Jersey and their ownership and obviously their new general manager, Tom Fitzgerald, just, you know, believes in Lindy and what he brings and his values and his ability, you know, to teach those values. And it's a really, really important time for the New Jersey Devils because, you know, they're potentially on the precipice of heading back in the right direction with, again, some of their quality young people. So, frankly, I'm really, really happy because, A, I'm a fan of Lindy Ruff, and sometimes I'm just a fan of, you know, the experience and the fact that, you know, people still value the resume and the experience in 2020 because sometimes I don't always see that. So I'm okay with it. We'll see how it goes.
And we'll focus back in on the Calgary Flames here. We'll get some stuff going as we continue to get closer to training camp and then hopefully resumption of the qualifying rounds on August 1st there. You wanted to talk about Milan Lucic and Dylan Dubé and Lucic specifically as to why you went out and got him. I think a lot of people would agree with the sentiment that not only did they get outplayed by Colorado in the playoffs last season, they got pushed around and they got kind of the game dictated to them. And one guy who certainly doesn't let that happen to him or his teammates is Milan Lucic. And I'm curious as to see what he brings with some time off. And we'd had the discussion, me and Pat and Peter Klein the other day, that who the most surprising Flame was for us this year. And I had actually named Milan Lucic as my most pleasant surprise for the team because I didn't have high expectations for him this season. He blew past a lot of that for me and became a really nice complimentary piece for this team, in my opinion. And it's going to be interesting to see what he brings to a playoff-like series against Winnipeg.
Well, in my opinion, when you're the Calgary Flames and you have had very limited playoff success, what you try to do when you make moves and bring people in is what you're really hoping for is for more people who have won and understand what it means and what it takes, Logan, to win, to have them in your organization. And, you know, I'm not being disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, but we have a tendency sometimes when we analyze, including myself, to always look at certain numbers. Well, intangibles matter. Creating a winning culture matters. And the thing that I have always appreciated about Milan has been through a lot of different things, including, you know, talking on After Hours about, you know, Dylan Dubé, and even this past season, it was hard for him, and he was wondering whether he should continue. The one thing that I observed this season about Milan is he cares deeply about the game, and on a number of different occasions on the road, I saw with my own two eyes how he takes younger people like Dylan, like Andrew Mangiapane, under his wing. His head coach now, Jeff Ward, who's known him forever, talks about Milan as a bit of a hockey savant when you sit down with him. He loves the game. And I think this playoff, more than ever, will really matter, not just about doing it well and as a job, but to love it and to want desperately to win. And that, to me, more than anything, is why Brad Treleving, when he decided that James Neal's time had come to an end and he went in search of Milan Lucic, trust me, he was not necessarily thinking about numbers or comparing those two guys' numbers. This, right now, is the kind of situation that he was thinking of. And in assessing it, and we'll never completely know, but it's so much right now and is every day about the message and the culture and the buy-in of everybody. It matters. It matters in every team situation. So his value, you know, early on when James was scoring all those goals and, you know, people are like, what have we done? Well, I believe that in his case, he's already done things for this team and some of its people because of who and what he's all about. And we're about to see potentially another chapter of that coming up very soon.
There we go. All right, Lou, we will let you go, and we will talk tomorrow to wrap up the week. And it's gone by pretty quick, I'll tell you.
It is.
Our first week. All right. Enjoy your Thursday.
Guys.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Yeah, Logan, lots of information there with lots of dates that we received earlier today and late last night. So now we're kind of going to unpack all that and some stuff to talk about with Eric as well, as Lindy Ruff gets another chance at the NHL. So we'll do that. Peter Klein coming in at 1 o'clock. Pinder and Steinberg without Ryan for another couple of weeks. It'll go at right till six tonight, as Pat Steinberg will be in at 2 o'clock. So busy, lots going on. We'll get your update next and talk to Eric DeHatchuk, our NHL insider, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon making way for Peter Klein at 1 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hockey Central continues as we talk to our NHL insider Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's Eric DeHatchuk, brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. He comes down the guest hotline, now open for limited dine-in service with all safety precautions in place. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. We'd like to thank them for sticking with us and continuing on with this. It's absolutely awesome. Last time we talked to Eric, he realized he couldn't be in his half marathon, and it was sweltering hot. So have you gotten over the fact that you're not going to be in your summer tradition? And is it still, like, stifling in Southern Ontario?
Still stifling, and I still haven't run yet. You know, part of it is I'm still working, so I've actually got quite a bit of writing to do. And I always find that I'm most productive in the morning. So,
Yeah. You
know, a lot of times it comes down to that choice. You know, do I go out for our training run, or do I sit there and actually do my work. And the answer has been, before you go on vacation, you better sit down there and do your work. So, but it's too hot to run anyway. Like I'm sure you're like this too, Kelly. You get older and you get smarter. So this race that I used to run, and do you remember when Scott Russell used to host on the CBC? He's a longtime CBC reporter and then has predominantly covered amateur sports for the last 20 plus years. We see him at Spruce Meadows all the time, but Scott used to be part of the hockey team, and Scott went to the camp where the race always started. So way back, like 30 years ago, Scott was in this race, and a whole bunch of hockey people are in it. Mike Kitchen, Basil Lafayette, you go through the entry list and you find familiar names. And Scott was a great runner, like a really great runner, way better than me. But I remember one year I was in pretty good shape, and I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to get on Scott Russell's shoulder, and I'm going to push and push and push, and I'm just going to see what I can do in terms of running for a time. And my goodness, how stupid can you be? Because, at a certain point, I knew that I couldn't keep up at this pace, but I was stubborn and relentless. And about two-thirds of the way through, it was like, okay, I got to, drop off the pace. And, Scott took off and ran his usual great time. And I think I did. That was probably the best time they ever ran. Yeah. But the finish line, I'm thinking to myself, what a terrible risk to take, And so I think I've smartened up a little bit since that Scott Russell moment out on the trail.
Yeah,
you press the fool button, as Jimmy Buffett says, and you go back to being stupid, right?
Yeah, and just we get to be in your 40s and 50s and older than that. You just kind of, you want to be healthy, right? You're not trying to show off or do this. Just make sure you maintain and try and enjoy things. That's the plan anyway. Wanted to ask, we got some news today with Lindy Ruff getting another job. He'll be with the New Jersey Devils. And he's a guy that, we had Rhett Warner doing our morning show for a long time here, had all kinds of respect for Lindy. What did you, and we heard his name for a while, so it wasn't like a super big surprise, but it's one of those, guys got experience. He's not a new guard. He's an old guard, but he's going to be behind the bench for the Devils.
Yeah, I think Lindy Ruff's a great choice. And again, I'm betraying my bias. I've known Lindy since he played in Lethbridge. I remember I was at the Corral the day that he broke his leg and they had to carry him off the ice. And I think it turned him into a second round pick from a first round pick because there were concerns about his broken leg. Had a really good NHL career and is one of the most successful coaches in NHL history. If you go by wins, I think if you look at that situation in New Jersey, okay, what do they need? They've got pieces there. They've got Jack Hughes. They've got Nico Hischier. They have some young players coming through the system. He is an absolute players coach, and I think that he's a coach that develops players and people. So I got a ton of time for Lindy Ruff. He and James Patrick worked together as a coach and an assistant coach for many years. I don't know if this means that James is going back to the NHL and leaving that junior team in Winnipeg, but I think he's the right coach for the right time there. I mean, I'm sure that when they assessed where they were at as an organization and the direction that they needed to take, you needed somebody that was going to help nurture these young players. And I think that that's what, Lindy's history has shown that he can do. He's a people person, a good human being who is also an accomplished NHL coach. And so when you look around the National Hockey League right now and see the success stories, Barry Trotz going into Long Island, I don't think anybody was looking at the date on Barry's birth certificate either. They just looked at him as a guy that has coached a long time, but has stayed on top of the game. That's the key. Like if you're somebody that is trying to coach today the way you coached 30 years ago, that's probably not going to work. You have to stay on top of the analytics. You have to stay on top of the way the speed of the game has changed, how it's no longer the
guys are different too. Their mentalities are different than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. Players.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, it's about tactics. It's about personality. So as long as you continue to grow as a coach, you can stay current and relevant. So I guess, that's probably a longer answer than you needed, Kelly. But I fully, fully endorse it. I think he's a great choice. And that's an organization where there's opportunity for success, too.
Yeah, and Tom Fitzgerald, who, was always a classy guy when he played, and he's kind of learned the ropes of the off-ice stuff. He retains, it looks like he's going to be the general manager, which I think, I don't know if that's surprising, or they obviously saw enough from him to understand that that he can grow in that position. But it's interesting, you got like a real veteran coach and kind of a newbie when it comes to the general manager position.
Yeah. I don't know him as well. So, you know, I can't speak as authoritatively, I don't think, about Tom Fitzgerald. But what I will say this is that he is someone that has apprenticed for a long period of time. And so I don't think that you can discount the experience that he has as an assistant general manager. I mean, obviously, you know, like, you know, in that profession, like any profession, you know, you work your way up the ladder and then you get to that effectively the number two position there. And then you hope that somebody gives you an opportunity when that door finally opens, and it did in New Jersey. And you're right, I would suggest that the ownership there assessed the other potential candidates that were out there, knew, you know, the qualities of sort of the bird in the house, as it were, and determined that he was the right man for the job. And you know, the only thing that changes when you go from assistant to general manager is that it's like being the president or the prime minister. The buck stops here. So ultimately, as an assistant, you can provide input, you can provide counsel, you can provide advice. But somebody has to make the final decision. And in terms of hockey, you know, of drafts, of trades, and so on and so forth, you know, once you gather all the information, you have to decide in your own mind. And you really don't know until somebody has that job for any length of time how they're going to be. Are they going to be timid in the job? Are they going to be aggressive in the job? Are they going to be a mixture of both? Are they going to be impulsive? Are they going to be so conservative that you're not improving your team? And when someone doesn't have a track record, it's impossible to forecast that. But yeah. I'm a big believer in working your way up the ladder and then getting your opportunity. And good for the New Jersey Devils for providing that opportunity to Tom Fitzgerald.
And I guess for Tom and the rest of the crew in New Jersey, it's like, what sort of budget are you going to have to work with as the new normal that we say all the time, and what the NHL is going to look like? And the Devils have been a team that, you know, they're in a big market, but they certainly don't have, you know, massive bucks to spend. But they've got some really good drafts, some, you know, high picks that they're starting to mold into really good players. This is going to be a very key, you know, 2 to 5 years for the Devils to kind of reestablish where they were when they were winning all those cups, Eric.
Well, no, that's 100% right. And I, probably the argument that you can make about New Jersey is similar to the argument that you make in Edmonton, that the hardest pieces to get are those, you know, franchise flashing light eyes go to them kind of pieces. And so even though Jack Hughes didn't set the NHL on fire in his first year, I think that was somewhat expected. I mean, he was not that physically mature. It probably would have been smarter if they'd done with him what Vancouver did with his brother and let him go to college for a year and just physically develop and wait a year to start to his career. But, you know, the teams get anxious and you know, sometimes, you know, learning at the NHL level when you get tossed in the deep end, it is a way to go. So, but those are the hard pieces to get. Like, it's hard to get the Connor McDavid's and the Leon Draisaitl. It's easier to fill in the gaps around those players. And, you know, they will, you reference finances. They will eventually, if these players become what they think, what we all think they're going to become, they are going to find, they're going to have to find a way of paying them. But I also think by that point, you know, the PK Subban contract will come off the books. You know, I haven't checked recently to see where Corey Schneider stands, but I think that, you know, the goal, the net is going to be turned over to Mackenzie Blackwood going forward. So I do think that down the road, there will be money available on that payroll and in that salary cap to accommodate those two guys.
We're chatting with Eric Dehatchuk. He's our guest on Hockey Central at noon, Tuesdays and Thursdays, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Kelly Kirsch. He is Logan Gordon.
Eric, we got some news about some tentative dates for the NHL and potentially next season. It sounds like it could be a very short off season for the Stanley Cup champions, as 7 days after the cup gets handed out, we'll run into free agency. And in between then, we'll have to fit in an NHL draft. Just curious what you made of some of the tentative dates we heard yesterday from that memorandum of understanding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, none of it really surprised me. I mean, I think that, you know, there was always an understanding that they, you know, that the off season would be roughly 45 to 55 days. I think that was something that was reported in the early days of these negotiations for an extension. And then it's just a matter of going backwards, essentially. Right. So, you know, like if you can get the tournament, let's call it the tournament, not the playoff, off the ground in the early part of August, and if you can complete the tournament by the second or third week of October, and then if you take that, you know, pause, you know, yeah, you should be back playing by December. The one thing I will say is that a shortened off season in terms of all of the important dates calendar, teams will be ready for that. Teams were ready to draft in June, so they will be just as ready when it comes time to do the drafting. It's the same thing with free agency. I mean, the only thing that will affect free agency this year is every team is going to have to look internally and assess where they're at in terms of their own budget. And not just obviously you're going to have to assess it in the moment, right? I mean, you add up all of your players, you add up the dollar figures on your contract, and it's like, there isn't enough money here to sign, player X or player Y. But once you do that, teams are, everybody wants to get better, right? So, if Pietrangelo somehow gets to market, you're going to try by hook or by crook to find a way to bid for him. Taylor Hall, crew, Tyson Berria. I mean, I do think that there's potentially some bargains to be had in the free agent market. And I'm just mentioning the big names, but there will be, players in that sort of second and third level, nice support pieces that the teams might look at. So, but the good news is that, because of this very, very long break right now, teams have not been sort of sitting idly by and just twiddling their thumbs. They have been preparing for every scenario. I mean, managers I choose to say that it's been harder to do the work now than it is normally, because normally you're in conference rooms and you're doing it all, and so much of the communication has been on Zoom, and everybody's getting used to the new technologies. But they'll be ready. So a short off season, I don't think that will affect anything. The larger issue is going to be, how much money will teams have to spend on free agents? What will be the expectations of those free agents? Are they expecting the same value that they expected 12 months before? Probably isn't going to happen. I mean, maybe for Pietrangelo, he's the one guy out there. I think St. Louis is going to have to find a way of signing him. They're going to have to find a way of giving him a so-called market contract. And I think just about everybody else is probably going to be a little bit disappointed in what the dollar figure of that next contract is going to be.
Do you think a flat salary cap, at least heading into next season, gives the Seattle expansion team a bit of a leg up coming into their draft and their inaugural season in the league? Because I think teams were probably going to be really hesitant of deals with Seattle because of how, Vegas got over on some teams here. But now with, a salary cap not going up and the fact that Seattle's going to have a lot of cap space to play with, some teams might look to them for, a way out of some bad contracts. I think that gives them a bit of a leg up coming into the league here in the next year or so.
Well, I think that was always going to be the case, and I actually kind of have done four mock drafts now on Seattle. And in terms of anticipating that, and I talked to Ron Francis, the general manager there, fairly frequently. And a couple of years ago, he got the job a year ago. I remember we had a long interview when he got the job, and I framed it very much like you did. That the biggest advantage you're going to have is this clean financial slate that you're given, and that Vegas started with a clean financial slate similarly, and absolutely took full advantage of it. Now, Vegas burned through its cap space very quickly because they became so competitive so quickly that they, instead of sort of building slowly, they just went out and started adding high priced free agents and making deals for expensive players, and they're basically capped out in a very short period of time. So I think that was always part of the philosophy. I remember Ron Francis told me on the record, he said that, what's different about expansion now as opposed to expansion when the Atlanta Thrashers and those teams came into play was that, Vegas proved that you can be competitive out of the gate. And in the past, veteran players had been reluctant to go to an expansion team because who wants to play for a team that's just going to lose and lose and lose for the next 3 to 5 years? That's a terrible, difficult way to finish your career. Well, Vegas showed that it doesn't have to be that way. So they were already planning to be aggressive in free agency and certainly willing to talk about, adding players that, that make too much money for teams. I mean, when we did our mock draft, all of the writers in the various cities, made players available. And I mean, Brent Burns is available. I'm taking him, right? We did this as an exercise. We followed the rules. You can only protect, 7-3-1 or 8 position players in one. And it's lots and lots of very good, very expensive players were there. So I think they're going to very judiciously use that cap space, but they're going to find, you know, quality NHL players with, you know, years left, you know, on the tires, the tread on the tires, and they're in an enviable position. Honestly, that's, I'd love to be in that boardroom when they're putting that team together, because they're going to have advantages that the only other team that came close is Vegas, and as you suggested with your question, with the screws being tightened even further on in terms of payroll and the finances, they'll be, you know, very advantageously positioned.
They just need a name, I guess, and then.
What are you going for? You have a preference?
It'll be interesting to see. I always am kind of, you know, potential. I'd like to have something that's very Pacific Northwest, like the Totems or something like that. But not sure if that's you know, they also got to sell merchandise too. So I know that what was the Kraken was out there, or, you know,
Kraken. Yeah. I honestly tell you, I thought it was going to be the Kraken. I thought that and that an announcement was imminent, and I thought it was going to be the Kraken. And to be honest, I haven't done any reporting on this for a month, so I don't know if anything has changed. But if you were to ask me to make a guess, or, you know, or make a small side wager, I'm still going to say the Kraken.
All right, we'll see what happens. Okay, Eric, we'll let you go. Thanks for your back in it and back at it with us on Hockey Central. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
All right, thank you.
There we go, Eric Tkachuk, right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Our NHL insider. It is Hockey Central at noon. Hey, coming up tomorrow on the Scott Rintoul Show, your chance to maybe win something very cool, a box of Upper Deck hockey cards. We're going to have the card of the day, which will be like an athlete of some sort. Usually it's hockey. We'll give you clues, and if you know it, you just fire in your guess to the text line at 960-960. One winner, we'll draw for it. And you know what? We'll just send you the cards in the mail, just like that. We are going with the Upper Deck Ingrained series this week. And then next week, it'll be with Peter Klein and Ryan Pinder. As Boomer's got one more week off, it'll be the Upper Deck Stature series. Upper Deck, collect the best, home of the world's greatest athletes. Visit upperdeckstore.com. We'll wrap Hockey Central and tee up what the boys have been working on, and the afternoon show will be cooking again today, right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Thanks for tuning in. It is Sportsnet 960, The Fan. You can stream us on our website, sportsnet.ca/960. Just click on Listen Live. If you want to download the Sportsnet mobile app, you can do that. It's got like a little listen for the radio stations. We got our three Sportsnet stations across the country. Just click on 960 and you'll hear us that way. If you want, you can do the Radio Player Canada app. That works too. You know, it's pretty snappy. They've been working on it. It's way more interactive than when they first came out with it. I use it. It's pretty cool. And they got all the other stations too. So you can listen to like Jack and CHFM and 660 and that kind of stuff as well. Logan Gordon is producing today and getting ready for Peter Klein. What does PK have planned for hour number one of the show?
We'll talk to Arash Madani, a number of topics to get to with Arash today. I think we'll probably get into some CFL as well with Arash and kind of see what he thinks about the future of the league. And then busy afternoon when Pat stops by as well.
Yeah, lots going on. I mean, the CFL's got a bunch of stuff going on. It's been a little quiet about their, you know, return to play stuff. And I think it's going to be tight for them to be able to do just that with they need fans, right? That's, I just don't know if that's going to work. So now next week, you and I are going to be hosting a little longer, and I want to have in the 1 o'clock hour, really dig into the CFL a little bit and get some guests from across the country, because I think this is a great opportunity for the Canadian Football League to reset, change a few things, change some rules, change a bunch of stuff, because you've never had a better opportunity than right now. If this season is, basically done, and it's sure looking more and more like it is, but I think there's still an audience for the Canadian Football League. They just have to right-size it and make it so it makes sense. So not everyone loses money besides the Riders and the Bombers. Right. So, and there's some private companies that don't tell you if they win or, you know, make or lose money. So that I think they just have to be, I think there's a great opportunity there. So we'll see. We'll get into that next week. But we'll worry about Friday first, right? Mm. So we'll get that going. Okay, we'll get out of here and get ready for Peter Klein. He's ready to go. Steinberg in at 2 o'clock. We've got Tim and Sid coming up at 6. And I was doing up the schedule, Logan, for the play-by-play, which I have not done in a while, or games that actually we don't know the outcome of.
Sorry, what is it? Play-by-play?
Play-by-play. Blue Jays, Tampa. 2 weeks tomorrow? What? And then maybe, you know, I haven't got the old, that, I don't know what you're going to call it, a preseason, a tune-up game.
Yeah.
The Flames would play, don't know who it is or where it is or any of that stuff. So that's interesting, too. So
I wonder if they'll broadcast, you think they'll broadcast that?
Those, I don't know. Those I don't ones know. I don't know, or would that be more like a scrimmage?
Yeah.
You know, I have more answers than I have more questions than answers these days.
Yeah.
And then things change, like, day after day, so... That's what everybody's going through.
Yeah.
Klein's next. Pinder and Steinberg right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.